of the, used to be called the Mesabi Daily News, it's called something else now, yesterday had three paragraphs about Bill King, who attended here with us for many years and went on to be with the Lord recently. So I told him I'm going to have to go back and dig it out and read it, because I just look at the headlines, and headlines don't interest me. And it wasn't about Bill King at all. It was about the new undersheriff for St. Louis County. So if you haven't taken a look at that article, you might want to. Brian says three paragraphs about Bill King.
Maybe three, something like that.
Yeah, okay. After the fellowship time, Sunday school class this morning, we will be on day six of the week of prayer, and the overall topic for these seven, actually 8 days, is one another. A correction for this week. I will be out of the office on Thursday, not Wednesday, and not for LSDM either. Daylight savings time, 2 o'clock in the morning, next Sunday morning, if you set your alarm to wake up and change your clock at that time. Most of us just do it on Saturday night. Let's see, spring forward. So if you don't, see if I can get this right. If you don't, you'll be here an hour early, right?
Late.
Yeah. Okay. On a week from today, in the evening, Covenant Park Bible Camp is having a prayer gathering at the camp. If you're interested, I am planning to go down for that. And tomorrow night, I'll be at the board meeting as well. Ladies' lunch, change of date to Tuesday, March 10th. And then one other announcement, that if you have used or unused Bibles that you would like to have distributed to folks who do not have Bibles, you can bring them to the church. I got a call from Gary Elmquist. Anybody know Gary Elmquist? I don't know him. And he is participating in a nationwide program to collect Bibles that are sitting on shelves to send out through an organization called Mission Cry, and they just distribute Bibles like the Gideons do. So if you have Bibles that you'd like to contribute, feel free to bring them, and I will get them to Gary. And then the last point, our mission focus for this week is Julio and Katie Isaza in Colombia. And their recent newsletter was very pertinent to what is happening in the trauma in the United States and Mexico and the countries in that Latin American region. And so we'll be taking a look at some of their perspectives, because it has to do with our theme, one another. So if you noticed, our bulletin is upside down, but I thought we could probably manage that. I think we're all able and capable to do it. So our call to worship this morning is our opening hymn, which is normally used for fall, like Thanksgiving and so forth. We get accustomed to that, but it's still a hymn of gathering together.
It wasn't too long ago that a couple decades maybe, when the camp's theme was the upside down kingdom. So you can think of the bulletin as the upside down kingdom today. Turn to 9 99.
Father God, we all do extol Thee, our leader triumphant, and pray that Thou still, our defender, will be. Thy name be ever praised through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
First scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 131, and it's on page 473 in your pew Bible. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child with its is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. And then in the New Testament, book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 through 34, page 741 in the Pew Bible. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I will tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not even labor or spin, yet I tell you that they eat that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
That includes one of my favorite verses, Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And then the very last sentence that Brian read for us, I think we can all say amen to. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We have the opportunity to present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Can I ask the usher to come forward at this time? And remember that Paul taught us in the New Testament that the most important thing about giving is giving with a cheerful heart to the Lord. He is our King and our God, and our hearts love him and have a great deal of joy in being chosen as children of God through him. Let's pray together. We can't say enough, our Father God, for your graciousness and your mercy, your forgiveness, your willingness to receive us as human beings into your family, divine and holy. You are, and yet out of your great love you reach out to us. And so with joy and gladness we return a portion of the blessings you have sent our way to you, asking that you would use these gifts so that your kingdom can be increased, expanded, and built up. And we thank you through your Son, who is our Savior and Lord, your Son whom you love, your Son in whom you are well pleased, your Son whom you have enthroned at your right hand. That Son, the name Jesus. Amen.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Sing with me the chorus. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Let's stand and sing our doxology.
Thank you. This morning during our prayer time, I'd first like to take prayer requests. We should be able to praise the Lord. Bob and Mary are recovering. Bob is in the back there. You can talk to him. And Roger has bounced back like a 24-year-old or something like that.
I just want to thank everybody for praying for me during my hospitalization about a week and a half ago. I had a follow-up last Friday, and my left lung is clear. No more pneumonia.
Wow.
I've taken all the antibiotics I need, and I'm cleared to play pickleball on Tuesday. So, thank you all very, very much. I so appreciate it.
Roger also let me know that Tim Van's host is struggling with medical issues as well, so we can add him to our prayer list also. Let's continue to pray for Bob and Mary, full recovery, and any other prayer requests that come to mind.
My cousin Kathy Peterman.
Kathy?
She's been struggling with MS for years, and she broke one of her legs and had to have surgery. And she lives in a facility, and she's worried that she's going to need more care than what they can give, and may have to relocate.
Ouch.
She
live in a facility on the range?
No.
Okay. So Kathy broke her leg. I assume they'll pin that and fix that all up, but may need extra care. But it sounds like her main concern is that she be able to stay in the facility that she's currently residing, and a little concerned that maybe they'll have to relocate her, but she doesn't want that. Okay? Any other prayer requests? So this morning, as we pray together, what I've opted to do, the new prayer calendar came out. You can pick it up in the back. And Gail notified me. I didn't even notice it. That on the back, they put the activities of this month, because there's so many of them. So you can refer to that. But what I've opted to do is pray, as we pray together, let's pray for the folks on the first week of the March calendar as well. People that many of us know and love and pray for. Kind of a introduction to the fact that the reason for this prayer calendar is for us to pray for these folks this week. So let's pray together. Father, it is with grateful hearts that we acknowledge that the goodness that you pour out upon us and in fact on all people, because your word tells us that you are kind even to evil and unbelieving people. Your goodness, your love, your graciousness is far beyond what we can understand and far beyond the love that we often are able to come up with, even within our own selves. We want to thank you, Father God, that you have heard prayers to heal Roger and Bob and Mary. We would pray, Father, for Kathy's special request that she be healed enough to continue to remain living in the home that she is living in. We thank you that you will answer that prayer, because we agree with her, we agree with Linda in that request. We add in addition that you would heal her and restore her to good health. We would pray this morning, our Father, for our brother Tim, who attends church in Midway as he struggles with significant medical issues. Father, you are the God of miracles, and truly at this time he needs a miracle. We ask that you administer to him and encourage him, keep his faith strong, and in addition, that you would provide healing to his body as well. This morning, our Father, we would like to pray for Shirley and her family, Brian and Lynette, Krista, Grace and Gunner, and the rest of the family. You have blessed this family with your presence, your life, your love, and they have responded to you. Bless them as your children, as they go about their daily activities, their careers, their lives, constantly reminding them of your goodness to them. This morning, Father, we pray for our sister Thea Barnes, her children Zach, Kate, and Kate's husband Micah. Once again, Father, we thank you for Thea, who has committed her life to you and has transferred some of that joy, some of that deep love for you to her children. We ask that you would bless them all as they continue their journey. I would pray in particular for Zach, that you would assist him in finding that internal stability of peace. This morning we pray for Steve and Linda and their family. Sarah and Michael, Stephanie and Russ, Stephen and Megan. We pray first of all for Steve, that you would help him to maintain his faith in you amidst all of the struggles that he is enduring. For the entire family, that you would minister to them in a way that their faith would remain strong in you, and that their love for you would increase, and their oneness with each other as a family, their bond, would be blessed and increase positively as well. We pray for our sister Carolyn Erickson, that you would continue to bless her life. We know, Father, that you put a lot of believers around her where she lives in Edgewood. We thank you that fellowship is abundant for her, and we thank you for her joy for life and her constant willingness to express her joy. We ask that you would bless her as she continues her journey, her walk with you. Keep her healthy and strong, and keep her faith strong. We pray for Lucas and Cassie, Christian and Leo. We thank you for this young family and the joy that they bring to us. We thank you for the blessing that they are to their extended family and to us. We would pray in particular that you would continue to be with them in their journey of life, in their careers, in their everyday activities, encountering their lives in a regular way to remind them how much you care about them. We pray for Christian and Leo as they grow up, that even during these young years, you would reach into their hearts and capture them for Jesus. That faith that has been planted in them, continue to water it and fertilize it and cause it to grow into a tree for the kingdom of God and for the name of Jesus. We pray for our missionary, Anna Rosengren, in Japan. Continue to gift her, encourage her, give her physical stamina and health that she may be able to minister your word in Japan. We pray for our brother, John, that you'd continue to bless him in his life and that you would grant him the right vehicle at the right opportunity. And during the time he's without vehicles, we ask that you would help him to be able to get transportation to and from work. We ask that you would bless our missionaries, Peter and Anna Kim, in Asia, as they minister to that area of the world, even administratively, in coordinating the missions and ministries. Continue to bless them, keep them healthy, give them wisdom that they need for that mission. And for Barb and Steve Swanson, as they transition out of mission work into what you will call them to do this summer. Again, continue to bless them, support them, give them health and strength, and give them the answer that they're asking for, which is, Father, what do you want us to do from this point on? Father, it is with joy that we bring these folks to you. In fact, it's with joy that we pray. Any time that we pray, because we know that you hear us, that we know that you hear our hearts as we are concerned and care about people. We ask our Lord that you'd continue to bless Amy and Kai living next door. We thank you for the privilege of being able to be here to provide this home. We ask, Father, that you'd continue to reveal your presence to our brothers and sisters all across the Iron Range, in many different churches, faiths, and religions, so that your name would be exalted and that we together could speak the name of Jesus, the precious name that is above every other name. Father, it is in his name that we pray. That name, the name Jesus. Amen.
Turn the hymnals to 105. O splendor of God's glory, bright. One of my favorite tunes at Christmas. 105.
Jeffrey. I had a random thought this week because I'm short and I pull out this little step thing. Maybe I should invest in high heels. It was a random thought. And I'd probably fall off and break my leg in the process. This morning we continue in the Gospel of John. And I've chosen the Gospel of John, as I mentioned last week, for our Lenten meditation. John is a lover. We get a little offended when he says of himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But to me, that's only an illustration of how deeply John connected with his master Jesus in love. He knew that he was loved. To us, Jesus is the Word, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Great Shepherd, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Rabbi, the Teacher, and many more titles. John, in his very first chapter of his Gospel, lists at least 10 titles that Jesus carries with him. But he doesn't end there. John takes his gospel into a depth of love and fellowship with Jesus, a relationship territory. And that's really what I want to focus on this morning. That knowing Jesus is not just up here, knowing facts about him. I believe that Jesus existed. I believe that Jesus lived. I believe that Jesus is a Savior. No, what John found, what John captured, and I think more than any other, was that Jesus really, really, really loved him. And because of that, John loved him back. As you know, the scriptures say that we love God because he first loved us. Love is kind of a difficult thing to talk about in our society today, because love is talked about all the time, and it's not the love we're talking about this morning. I love my car. I love my boat. I love my snowmobile. I love my golf clubs. Whatever. But John talks about a love that far transcends all of that. And in his gospel, in this relationship story that the Gospel of John is, John talks about Jesus' relationship with his own family, with his followers, of course, with his community, and of course with his Heavenly Father. And then, very specific individual people, like the disciples. John even talks about, in fact, all the Gospels talk about Jesus' relationship with Judas Iscariot, who I probably wouldn't have wanted a relationship with, but Jesus did want a relationship with him, gave him that opportunity for a relationship. And then Nicodemus, the famous John chapter 3 episode. The woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus' relationship with a person who wasn't even interested in him at the pool of Bethesda. And in John chapter 5, all the way through the Gospel of John, are these relationship pictures, these glimpses of Jesus with people. In fact, John spends whole chapters sometimes about Jesus and a person. And then, of course, Jesus' relationship with Martha and Mary and Lazarus, dear, dear friends of his. Jesus' relationship with Peter, even to the extent of rebuilding that relationship at the end of their walk together here on earth. And I know we call Thomas Doubting Thomas, but remember, Jesus even rebuilt a relationship with him. Stop doubting. Believe. Touch my hands. Put your hand in my side. It is me, Thomas. And then even more broadly, Jesus' final new command to us as believers, not just in this room, all through our community and all through our world, love one another. So how does John see these relationships? Two specific Greek words that John uses through his entire gospel. The first one you're familiar with. It's the word agape. I think you've all heard sermons about agape love. I think you all realize it's a love that we can't fully comprehend, but we certainly would like to. It's this self-giving love demonstrated by God the Father himself, who said, I love people even though they have drifted away, some have turned their backs. I love them so much that I'm going to ask you, my son, Jesus, if you would leave everything here, everything, and go to them and reach them so that one day we can gather together as a family. It's a love beyond our full comprehension, but we know it's true because that's the story of this entire Bible. Beginning to end is God's love for people. And so I don't think I have to talk too much about agape love, because like I said, I think you've been there before and heard about it before. I just like to refer to Dr. David Jeremiah this last week, because he provided a stunning contrast between God's love, Jesus' approach to God's love, and the approach of the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and priests. You see, for those folks, their greatest commandment was the first commandment, the first one of the ten, Moses' list of the Ten Commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I don't know if you know this or not, the Shema, or sometimes we pronounce it Shema, they recite those words every day, in the morning, and in the evening. And so when Jesus came into that situation, and somebody came and asked him, what is the greatest commandment? These religious leaders expected him to say, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But instead, the greatest commandment Jesus listed is, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Introducing in between those two sections the words, The second is like unto us. I submit to you that this is the contrast that makes a difference in our lives. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like unto it. Love our neighbor as ourself. Moving on to the second Greek word that permeates the Gospel of John, and you probably haven't heard this Greek word, and I won't spend time on it and its derivation. But it's translated in John, and in fact in the New Testament, as know or knowing. So we're told over and over again that Jesus knew his disciples, or Jesus knew Lazarus, or Jesus knew Martha, or Jesus knew Peter. And that English word doesn't mean much to us. We go, yeah, he knew about them. He knew who they were. He could call them by name. He probably knew them because he could recognize what they looked like. I know things about you. In other words, that is not what that Greek word means. What that Greek word means is a word just as intense and deep as the word agape. It means a close, personal, deep relationship with people. And so when we read that in the Gospel of John, we are given this picture that Jesus loved this person and Jesus knew them not as a friend, but as a close, personal, and I'll use the word intimate friend. I don't like using the word intimate because it's misused in our culture today. But I think it helps to give the picture how close this is. I am so close to you, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Peter, Thomas, Andrew, Philip. I am so close to you that I am bonded with you. John uses the Greek word agape in his Gospels almost twice as many times as all three of the other Gospels. John uses this Greek word for this close personal relationship 47 times in the Gospel of John, more than all of the other three Gospels combined together. Do you get the picture? John tells us, Jesus loves you and wants this close personal bond. So I put these two Greek words into a paraphrase of the two commandments that Jesus gave to try to help us understand what Jesus is asking us to do, the relationship with our Father and with Jesus, and our relationship with each other. And this is how it goes. You shall selflessly and deeply love and spend quality time with God. And the second is like unto it. You shall selflessly and deeply love and spend quality time with others. In fact, if you wonder what your ministry is, that's it. Jesus summarized it for us. So if this is true, if I'm on track here, let's take a quick look at some of those incidents in the Gospel of John and see what that means to Jesus' relationship with people. First, his relationship with his natural family. I think if we see that for Jesus, this is relationship. Loving and spending quality time with. I'd like to read from John chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Mary knew Jesus. His mother knew him. No doubts, no questions. She was bold. Whatever he says to you, do it. It's going to get done. And we know the rest of the story. However, very few times do we read a few sentences later or a few verses later. At the end of that incident, verse 12, and after this, Jesus went down to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and there they stayed a few days. Quality family time, including with his disciples. We would look at the miracle of turning water into wine differently if we realize that Jesus' heart was to love and spend quality time with people. Turning the water into wine, this has been much discussed, much argued. It's been argued whether it's grape juice or wine. My perspective of that, give it up. That isn't the point of what happened here, is whether it's grape juice or wine. The point is, Jesus did it. Jesus did that miracle for who? Well, in one way, in response to his mother, but in another way, blessing his community. And I remember one guy, I was here listening to his testimony, and he was reflecting on this passage, and he says, that's the kind of guy I want at my party. Or the incident of the sick man at the pool of Bethesda. He wasn't looking for Jesus. He wasn't paying attention at all. But Jesus, out of love and wanting to spend time with this guy, stepped over to him and healed him. Or the healing of the man born blind from birth. The miracle was a good thing. But John points out the intensity of the love and relationship, because John contrasts that, and it's hard for us to get this, contrasts that with the reaction of the religious leaders. Can you get this? Jesus heals this guy who has been born blind. Now he sees. The reaction of the religious leaders is to hate Jesus for doing it. I don't believe there is any one of us who, when a brother or sister gets healed, we hate it, right? We love it. That's what healing is all about. No, I don't understand the religious leaders' reaction. Or the miracle of the dead, truly dead. Over 3 days dead, Lazarus brought back to life. Jesus loved this man. And so there's folks who want to argue about, well, he wasn't really dead. He was just unconscious in the tomb or whatever. Not the point. Not the point. The point is recorded for us in the Gospel of John in these words. Behold how much he loved him. A relationship We're amused by the relationship sometimes that Jesus had with the sisters Martha and Mary. You can be amused by it. I sometimes am. But you gotta say, Jesus loved them. Or finally, on the hill overlooking Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and Jesus looks and is in his heart sees the people and says, if you had only known. You can feel his heart of love and wanting a relationship with people. And of course, the famous verse, Jesus wept, just like he did at the tomb of Lazarus. Is it possible that as we journey our lives, look forward to a transition to heaven, that as we go along, we can glance back over our shoulder and smile and think, like John, I have selflessly loved and spent quality time with God, and I have selflessly loved and spent quality time with people. We get an opportunity to do that this morning in our sharing of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus in remembrance of him. I would like to read from Luke chapter 22. This is Luke's version of the Lord's Supper. And when the hour had come, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, grab a hold of this love and relationship thing. He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I would be bold to say this morning, Jesus earnestly desires to share with us today his body and blood. For I tell you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Verse 17, and having taken a cup when he had given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. That cup that we just read about was one of the four cups of the Passover. And having taken some bread, verse 19, when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Would you pray with me? Our dear Lord Jesus, we invite you into our presence this morning, as we share and remember your sacrifice to us of your body and blood, purchasing for us a redemption that we could never purchase, that we could never earn. It is our heart's desire, Jesus, that we increase, improve, make better our relationship with you. We don't have to ask you to improve your relationship with us. You already love us, want to know us, walk with us more than we can comprehend. And so this morning we just respond to your great love. We love you. And as we share together, that is our statement, Jesus. We love you. And because you first loved us, we love your Father, who is our Father, our God, and we honor you. Through your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Can I ask the server to come forward for us this morning, please? In remembrance of the body of Jesus given for us, let's share it together.
How wonderful it is to come in perfect bliss with saints in sweet communion to such a feast as this. Of greater joy to me, no other thing can be than sharing with God's children this love and harmony. I know that He is near, our friend and Savior dear. I feel His holy presence, His loving words I hear. His full abundant grace, in truth I can embrace, and therefore in His keeping my life and soul I place. O Christian, sing with joy, with praise your tongues employ, the goodness of His blessing the world cannot destroy. No mortal here below can ever see or know the glory that in heaven the Father will bestow. My soul is now at ease, His blessings here increase, since from all guilt the Savior has given me release.
Jesus broke the bread, the matzah, and He gave it to His disciples, and He says, take and eat in remembrance of me. Let's share together. The cup that Jesus shared with His disciples was after the Passover meal, and so it's a new cup. And Jesus tells us what that new cup is. His blood shed on the ground for us. And as you know, the Bible says that redemption is in the shedding of blood. One time, forever. One time, forever. His blood.
Eat this bread, drink this cup. Come to me and never be hungry. Eat this bread, drink this cup. Trust in me and you will not thirst. Eat this bread, drink this cup. Come to me and never be hungry. deepest cup. Trust in me and you will not thirst. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
I think the words of the thief on the cross that Jeffrey just sang, for us, we could say as well, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, this is my blood shed for you. Not only do it in remembrance of me, but do it because the blood of Jesus saves us, paid the price for us, making us one with each other and all of our brothers and sisters all around the world. So as we share this cup together, let's remember that we share it with people all over the world who are in the family of God through his Son, Jesus. Let's share together. A new commandment I give to you, that you selflessly love and spend time with one another in the same way I have selflessly loved and spent time with you. That's how you love one another. Remember me, for I remember you.
Turn in your hymnal to 108. Sing praise to the Father.
Thank you. shall.